Welcome to the Dementia Carers Camp podcast, where we'll be sharing the experiences of family members and friends caring for someone with dementia. In this episode, Susie Webster shares her experience of caring for her mother, who has a diagnosis of hydrocephalus and Alzheimer's disease. Susie won the award for an exceptional contribution by a family carer at last year's Dementia Care Awards, an award which was sponsored by Dementia Carers Camp. We are incredibly grateful to Susie for taking the time to share her story with us.
So we're from Somerset originally, and Mum worked in a bakery, which was absolutely fantastic for me growing up. There was always donuts in our house, and I always had lots of friends, and I now realise it was probably the donuts that brought my friends. But yeah, my dad worked on the railways. I'm an only child, and that never really bothered me. I never felt like I missed out on anything. My best friend, who's still my best friend, lived down the road from me. We met when she was four and I was two. I like to say that because she's older than me. So she was very much part of my growing up. And really lovely, lovely childhood, really. My mum started showing signs, you know, it's 20 years ago. It's a long time ago in my life and a long time ago in her life. And at that time, we didn't know what was wrong. The doctor kept saying it's probably something to do with menopause, which probably fitted with that time of her life, but that was the only thing. Nothing else seemed to be recognisable with that. But we continued with our lives, really. But we noticed the main thing that happened first month was Mum kept falling. She lost her mobility. And at one point, she broke her collarbone, which was incredibly painful. And there didn't seem to be any reason for why she was falling. And the doctors were quite baffled by that, really. Her memory problems didn't start until probably at least 10 years into her the first signs of her dementia. And Mum's mum had dementia, and at that time she was living in a care home. And she lost her memory very early on in her dementia. So I suppose the signs that we might have looked for weren't there. And also Mum was in her 50s. We weren't looking for dementia anyway. That was the last thing on our minds. We just wanted to know what we could do to help her. But within that time, she withdrew quite a lot because I think she was frightened. And Mum has never been an outwardly emotional person. So I think there were some very dark moments for her when she wasn't able to tell us how she felt. And the doctor started looking at things around her mental health, like a possible depression, possible anxiety, things like that. So we, as a family, believed that that was what was happening for Mum. And it wasn't until she went back to the doctors, really within my dad's desperation for help. Because I'd moved away by then. I'd been to university, met my now husband, so I wasn't part of it as deeply as I had been at that point, and hadn't realised how difficult things were getting for my dad and Mum. So they went back to the doctors, and it happened to be a locum doctor, and he said, "You need a brain scan." It was a fluke, really, like a fluke that one particular doctor just thought, "There's something more here. We need to get this family some help." And when Mum did have her brain scan, they found lots and lots of fluid on her brain. She was diagnosed with hydrocephalus, which had probably been growing on her brain from birth and does cause a very rare form of dementia, which we knew nothing about. And me being me, social worker at the time, really sort of into where to get help, how, you know, reaching out all the time, please, where do we go for help? Looked for the Hydrocephalus Society, and they didn't really offer any support around memory loss. It was more mobility and things like that. Also, at that time, the Alzheimer's Society was the first place that I went for help, and on their list, even on their list of rare dementias, hydrocephalus wasn't on there. So we were a bit lost at that point, really, on where to get help. And what I think the thing was for us is when there was a diagnosis, we felt like, right, now we can, now we'll know what to do to help mum. But there was nobody there who was supporting us and telling us what to do, because that's all we need, that's what we needed at the time. I think there was times, definitely, I remember, and I live with a lot of guilt around this, that I was trying to get mum to do things that she just couldn't do. So we'd be in town and she would say, I can't move my legs. And I'd say, take a deep breath. You can move your legs. We've walked into town. You can move them again. And she said, I can't move my legs. And she'd get very, very angry with me. But I didn't know. I didn't know that it wasn't, her brain wasn't connecting with her legs. So, you know, there was very difficult times for us. And that, there was times where dad would take mum to work. Mum lost her job because she fell at work and was deemed unsafe to work in the bakery. So that was devastating for her, because that was her reason to get up in the morning. And it's what she'd done for 30 years of her life. And she really withdrew after that. So dad would often take mum to work with him. She'd sit in the car and he'd go off and work on the railway track, and then he'd come back and see if she was all right. So things were getting quite desperate for us around about that time. Really. And then mum got the diagnosis of Alzheimer's as well. So she lives with two types of dementia, because she's greedy like that. With that came more help. Eight years ago, we made the big decision as a family to move in together. I was spending a lot of my life strapping the girls into the car, driving down the M5 to see mum and dad and trying to help and support them, because things were getting a lot, lot harder by then. And my dad was really at breaking point. And it was tricky, because he kept saying to me, you've got your own life, live your own life. And I kept saying, but you are my life, you are my family. And it was tricky trying to bring up two little ones and constantly thinking, is mum all right today? Can dad leave her? And having worked in social work and worked with people living with dementia and within the care home sector for years, I just knew there wasn't the support out there that we would need to get us through. The thing is that my mum's so much more than dementia. She's wonderful, and she's caring, and she's incredible with the girls. She loves them so much and they love her so much. They've learned as children that how important it is to care for somebody, to be patient. Those skills that you don't learn at school, you can't do in GCSEs, but that my girls have that running through their veins. And I'm so grateful for my mum. I really want to make that clear, that it's not all poor us. It's not like that at all. Most of the time, we're just a normal family and it's chaos. And it's challenging, but it's wonderful too. And when we sat together as a family, we really knew that the only way we were going to get through it was to do it together. And that meant being in least in the same town as each other. And it was my husband that said, we all need to live in the same house. Otherwise you'll spend your life with them and we need you too. And I thought, oh, this is different. And this is when I rang my best friend and she said, oh, this will be for the rest of their lives, Susie. This is massive. I just knew it was the only way. And I never, ever say to other families, this is what you should do. It was very, very unique to us, I think, at that moment in time, at the ages that we all were, with little kids, with mum being a younger person with dementia, with my dad just going into retirement, with me at a kind of healthy age, with my husband being incredibly supportive. You know, I don't sit here saying we got it all right and aren't we wonderful, because it just worked for us, and it has. And we managed to find a house that is divided into two. Mum and dad's life savings went into this house. They're right now in the next room to me, but they've got their own living space, kitchen. It's not an annex, it looks like two houses, and it's perfect. Mum's now in what I believe is the late stages of dementia. I've always found that quite funny when you move stages, because I'm not sure when you do that, and you don't get a certificate like you would if you went up in your swimming. Mum is completely immobile now. She's not able to move herself at all, or use the loo, or speak much. Although words come sometimes, and they're the most precious words, because I often feel really sad that I don't hear my mum's voice again, but when I do, it's like a gift. And now and again, I'll get a love you, and it, I'm like, oh, I should have recorded it, but I'm never with recording stuff, but it means so much. And there's a lot of losses now. There's a lot of loss. There's a lot of living grief. That's hard. So we have 6 carers a day. On top of that, we have what they call a sitting service, which I don't really like because it sounds like babysitting, but I don't know a better word. But we have a lady from Carers Trust who comes once a week to sit with mum to enable dad to have a break. But of course, my mum has lost so much during lockdown. Although she is limited in some ways now, she was going to a day centre once a week for the whole day, and it was brilliant. And not like a traditional one. It was active, it was fun. My mum would be exhausted, which was great because she felt like she'd done something. She also went to a singing group, which obviously isn't happening at the moment, and she went to a coffee morning. Massive losses for her. And I think nobody talks about that enough, particularly at the moment. You know, people will say, you know, how are you managing, Susie? And I constantly say, it's my mum who's missing out. You know, she's stuck here with us. And although that's nice and there's plenty going on, she doesn't have her own life outside of this house. And that I don't know when that will return. You know, we had to make big decisions at the first lockdown around the amount of footfall coming into our house, because although I say 6 carers a day, what that equals usually is around about 15 different people a week. And that's massive. When everybody was locking down and not going to supermarkets. And, you know, I was thinking, we probably see less people in Tesco. So mum might be safer there than she is in her own home. So, and also we had like many care agencies, and ours is wonderful most of the time. Staff retention and staff sickness was a massive problem at the start, and fear. A lot of the care workers were very fearful about coming to work, and I get that. They've been incredible. We talk about the NHS all the time, and of course they're doing wonderful things, but these care workers, they're our heroes. They haven't stopped. They haven't stopped, and you can see the fear in their eyes at the start. So lots dropped out. So I ended up the more practical care, helping her up in the morning, helping her to the toilet, helping her into bed at night. I did that for 100 days, and I was counting without a break, because there's no breaks for us. You know, there's no, you know, Susie, you've got to take a day off now. And I was exhausted and physically in bits. I was ringing my yoga teacher. I don't do lots of yoga, but when I do try to do it, she was giving me exercises to keep me strong. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was making it up a lot as I went along, but you know, everyone disappeared. So even the social worker, again, who's brilliant, she says, there's nothing I can do, Susie. You're going to have to keep going. So I did until I couldn't. And then we have got all the carers back now. We probably need more care than we're getting at the moment, but we're okay. We are okay. And I know there's lots of people that aren't. So for us, we manage. We all play our part in that. We all play our part. I try to not make that my children's job, but naturally they do that. What's been the most challenging thing of lockdown has been supporting my girls through this, because normally they're busy. and they're at school and they're at netball and dancing and theatre and all the lovely things they do, and they're with their friends and they're having sleepovers, and that's all gone. What that's done for us as family is put a massive magnifying glass over my mum's situation, and they see it and it's raw and it's sad and it's lost, and it's very difficult to support that as a mum. I think you would have heard this before, and I think Chris Roberts probably invented this, but when you get a diagnosis of dementia, it's not just you, it's your whole family. And that is something that I think isn't recognised, particularly by services. So my girls are both classed as young carers, which they are, and that's wonderful, but they need emotional support. They're living with someone who's dying. If this was cancer, they would have that support. There'd be DVDs and booklets, and there would be that emotional support. Within dementia care, there still isn't that. And it's no wonder that many families get to breaking point and can't look after their loved one, not because of their loved one's dementia, but because the dementia has caused, you know, that emotional tsunami that you live with every second of every day, and it lives in you. And that's really tiring and upsetting. I would like somebody in my situation where I was 10 years ago to have the right support that they need ongoing, and because that would have made such a difference. Like the work that you do is, you know, the way you reach out is so special that I don't know even if you know how amazing that is, that you have those resources and those specialists, and because that wasn't there before. And we've had to fight for everything. You know, I'm still fighting. I was fighting the continence service the other day, but you know, I fight things, I let it go. I fight and I let it go. And that lack of acknowledgement, education around what we as families are doing out here. Some of my friends struggle, don't know what to say, so don't really say anything, or say, how's your mum? Dreading if I'm going to say, it's really tough at the minute. You know, so my stock answer is fine. And I say, well, she's got dementia, she's got advanced dementia, she's not well, she's never going to get well. Why are you asking that question? They'll go, pass her another glass of wine. You know, so there is, yeah, we've got to give people a break around that. I'm in a privileged situation here. There's six of us in this house. I'm the self-nominated site manager. So I do the phone calls, I do the connecting out. You know, who do we need for that? Mum's mobility has changed, let's contact the OT, let's do this sort of thing. People who don't have that person within their immediate family, you know, my dad would not know who to ring. My dad would not know how to get the right support that he needs. So yeah, I think he doesn't identify at all as a carer, and I've had to say, you're a carer, Dad. Don't forget to tell the doctor you're a carer. You know, don't forget to tell this person you're a carer, because, you know, frustrations like the GP surgery, you know, can you bring your wife in at 8 o'clock in the morning? Or, you know, no, she'll be still in bed. Oh, well, what about 9 o'clock? Well, that's when the carers come. Well, can you tell the carers to come later? that lack of understanding about, you know, you can't just change a care package to suit the doctor's appointment. Hadn't really factored my dad into all of this so much when we made the decision to move in together, and hadn't really thought that one day my dad will become frailer. And that's been tricky for me because, dad can't do what he used to do physically. He's shut off in a lot of ways to the caring role. And that's fine because I'm here. But I've just actually spoken to my social worker this morning about mum's social work, about getting a carer's assessment for myself, because I've never had one. So my children have had one, and my dad's had one. And I think also we make an assumption that in a family there's one carer. I was always drawn to working with people. I worked with Mum at the bakery. I was the Saturday girl there for a while, and I love people. I love being around people. I think that's why I'm struggling with lockdown, is that I miss people. People give me energy and life and fun. I already knew at a young age that I would go into some form of care work, and as soon as I left school, that's what I did. And then my grandma was diagnosed with dementia. My mum completely shut down to caring for her at all, and that was a really tricky time. And I think now that was entangled with mum starting her journey with dementia and not, and perhaps seeing her future. I'm not sure, but I was the person that took my grandma to the care home the day she moved in, and I was her main carer for a long time before she was in the care home for 10 years before she died, and it was only really me that visited. It's something in me that I've always wanted to do, but of course no one prepares you for that being your own family and leaving an office or leaving a care home at the end of the day to go home. Is a very different thing to be, you know, being in your home. I've changed because of this. I'm a better person because of this. I'm a kinder, slower in the moment person perhaps than I ever would have been. I've learned to cope with stress in a different way. I've learned to ask for help, and that's been the most important thing. And I've learned sometimes that help can come in most surprising ways. It doesn't have to be the professional. It doesn't have to be the best friend. It can be, you know, a night away, or you find your own coping mechanisms in you. But I am so grateful that my mum is still here when many people don't have their mums. And she is my person. She is, on those times where I'm feeling, oh, I can't cope, I go to her, and she's the little hand that pops up and just gently touches me on the head or on the back, my little pat on the back that makes me think I'm doing all right, because I miss her. I miss her so much, especially having girls and being challenged by being a mum. I needed her, and I didn't have her in that way. I've lost out on that relationship with her, but we've got something new, and she's still the same person, and she offers me different things. But and I wouldn't change that. I would chuck her dementia out the window if I could. Of course I could. I'd kick it down the road like a dirty old can. But I can't. So we look for what's good. We look for potential in every day. And yeah, I think this last year has been the most challenging because of the lack of escape. I worry more for my children than I have ever before about the intensity of this situation. Get the help and support that you need. You know, it is out there. It does take some finding at times, and it can be frustrating if you know there are services, but they aren't in your area. I think the beauty of the way we're connecting with people like today is Zooms. You know, that I've been speaking to people in Scotland and North Wales, and that I probably will never meet. But look for that help, look for that support. Don't be afraid to say I need help. Find your people and keep them close. That might be your best friend, that might be your social worker. Find them, tell them how much they mean to you. They need that too. and look after yourselves, but that's hard at times. But find the joys in life and make sure you can capture those moments with the person that you love, but capture those moments with people outside of that situation as well. A lot of the support that I got at the start didn't come from the professionals. It came from people living this experience too. So I became really good friends with Chris and Jane, with Tommy Dunn, you know, with very active people living with dementia who explained it better to me than I even knew. As I said, my mum isn't an outwardly emotional person. Whatever she was going through, she couldn't express for whatever reason. And sometimes it just took somebody with dementia to say to me, I have foggy days, Susie, and this is what it's like on a foggy day. And I'd recognize that as how my mum would be at times. So, you know, reach out to the people that are experiencing the similar situations to you. Sometimes you don't even need to talk about it. You just feel that comfort of, he knows what I mean. And that, I think, doesn't have to be about talking and supporting, and well, it can just be about sitting and being with people that get it.
Dementia Carers Count is the national charity dedicated to family members and friends caring for someone with dementia. We're in this together and are continuing to support family carers with our free services throughout the pandemic. Please visit our website, dementiacarers.org.uk, to access advice and support from our team of health and care professionals.